Our Heavenly Father, we do praise you this morning. We do praise you that we can continue to find all of the wonderful things in the Word of God that will help us within our life down here. Help us to be brave. Help us to be strong. Help us to speak up for the Lord. Do something for you. Thank you for doing something for us. Help us to live for you, learn and grow. May the Holy Spirit have free realm as the Word of God goes forth. In Jesus' name, amen. In your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter 17, please. 1 Samuel 17. We're going to read this whole chapter. We have read it before. No, not the whole chapter. I'll go half a chapter anyway. But 1 Samuel chapter 17, it says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Succoth, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Succoth and Azekah and the Ephesimen. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistine named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." That comes to 9'9". "And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, 'Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and you servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us.' And the Philistine said, 'I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together.' When Saul and Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephraite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons, and the man went among them for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle, and the names of his 3 sons were Eliah, the firstborn, and next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, 'Take now for thy brethren an ephah of parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge.' Now Saul and they and all of the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench, as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name. Out of the armies of the Philistines spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the men, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel he has come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and I will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free from Israel." And David spake to the men, stood with them, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And he sent for him. I'm not going to read the whole story. Most of you know the story of David and Goliath. That's a preface to it. That's a setting to it. You know that David went ahead and stood up for the Lord, was brave, strong, and he would not allow that Philistine to curse the army of the living God anymore. He was amazed that all of these soldiers in the army did nothing about it, but just stood upon the hill in fear. When David came, he went against him and killed the giant Goliath. So we're not going to study that whole thing this morning, but I want you to draw some principles, Bible principles, from what happened here. Because every one of us faces a giant within our life in one way or another way. A giant wants to push us around. A giant wants to curse our God. A giant wants to push us out of the way. Goliath, 9'9". When I preached on David and Goliath about 10 years ago or so, I got a pole, and I measured it and brought it to church, 9'9". I put a football helmet on the top of it, and I stood right down here, and it was way up here, 9'9". Can you imagine a man? I mean, just a couple feet down from the ceiling. 9'9". Can you imagine a man that massive being there? But you know, this story affords us the opportunity. This great feat that David did in battling the giant. David just didn't face the giant. He defeated the giant. Sometimes all we do with our giants is we face them, we understand it, but we don't defeat it. You don't let that thing go. It's a Bible principle. It's a foundational truth. Every giant has a forehead. The name David is prominent in the Bible. 1,100 times David's name comes up. Our Lord and Savior only comes up 559 times. What made David stand out to God? That he pointed to him over and over again in the Bible for us to see the example of what he did, especially in this occasion of him defeating the giant. He had a heart. David, he had heart. You know, we're getting to football season. I think it is this week that it even starts off in the NFL. I love football. It's not an idol. It's not something that takes my time away from God or anything like that. So you don't want to put anything before the Lord. But I love to see the game and understand the game and appreciate the players and everything else. But you know what really distinguishes one team from another? Who's got the heart to go ahead when they're down and they're losing to come back? They got heart. You can't stop them when they have their mind made up. 1 Kings 9:4 talks about David and it says, "If thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked in integrity of heart and in uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded thee and will keep my statutes and my judgments." It also is, he's referred to in Acts 13, verse 22. He says, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." David, in this instance, in this occasion, we can learn some Bible principles about that. You get a giant in your life, some problem you haven't been able to overcome, haven't tried, you didn't put your heart into it. You can do anything in your life when you put your heart into it. When you make up your mind, nothing can stop you. I don't care what it is, what kind of giant it is. God is with the person that has a heart after God, just like David did. But you know, God prepared David by being alone with the sheep. He wasn't in the battle at first. He didn't go to the army at first. He walked his brothers over there and then came back to take care of the sheep, it tells you. You know, if you're going to do something with God, for God, what I just preached on a couple weeks ago, think first. Think. Get alone. Quiet. Meditate. Get prepared in your heart. Get your heart right with God. Get the sin out. Get all the excuses out. And God will do a great thing with you. David was there alone. Had to stay there all the time. Through the night. Keeping watch. Bears tried to get the sheep. Wolves tried to get the sheep. All kinds of predators after those little sheep. Who's that David? He's the youngest of eight boys. Why? He doesn't know nothing. He can't do anything. So go over there and watch the sheep, David. Little teenager. It's amazing what a teenager that's right with God can do. These are giant principles I'm preaching to you this morning. God can use anyone that's willing, get their heart right, like David did, a heart after God. And he prepares his servants, God does. It just doesn't happen. You got to get along with God. You've got to have a quiet time every day with God. You need to get alone. Turn the phone off. Nothing interrupts you. The TV. Anything else. You get alone, maybe in your bedroom. Wherever. And just get alone with God. And be honest with God, because you know what? He already knows. He wants you to confess it. He wants you to do something about it. And that's what David did. God prepared his servant ahead of time. There's too many Christians that never serve. There's too many Christians that won't grow. They won't mature. They rebel against what's right. Sure enough, when you go away from God, you disqualify yourself by sin. David was willing to face the lions and the bear. He never despised his present situation, but he knew that God's will was for him to do something, but he didn't know what. His father, Jesse, would only have him take care of the sheep. Maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you're not doing much. You get along with God, get your heart right, get the sin out. Then you can go ahead and battle that giant in your life. Because God will be with you. It'll be the power of the Lord. How to hear and commune with God. Go to Proverbs 16 if you will. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16 verse 1. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. In the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. It says in verse 1 that there's preparation of the Lord. There's a time for the preparation, and there's a time to serve the Lord. In your life, time's running out. Don't care who you are, what age you are. Times are now. Got to be a change. God did not save us to leave us as he found us. He wants a different kind of people. We need to hear from him alone. We need to commune with him alone. We need to worship him alone. And the resultant heart will be changed. You'll be like one who wanted to spend time with him. You see verse 15 in our text, 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17 and in verse 15. But David went and returned to Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Menial job. Did you know God can use menial jobs? You get your heart right. I don't think much of the Disney Corporation anymore. Back when I was a kid, Walt Disney, he put out some good clean stuff and so forth. You remember Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and everything? And it was so why they worked. Remember it all? If you haven't seen Snow White and Seven Dwarfs, you better get to it. That menial job. The drudgery to you. There's happiness and joy knowing you're doing something and your heart is getting right with God. And there's going to come something in your life that's going to count for eternity. The preparations of the Lord is what it talked about. He was unappreciated, David was. Wasn't considered a man. People get it all backwards, friend. Holiness is not the way to God. God is the way to holiness. Get your heart right with God and He'll make you holy. Maybe we haven't sung enough hymns about holiness this morning. Amen. Yeah, amen. God said that you are in Peter to be holy, for I am holy, is what God said through Peter. Spend time on the inward man, not so much on the outward man. You need to be spirit-filled. The world knows David and Goliath. People that are unsaved, they know, and they point to that as someone that's the underdog that'll go ahead and fix the giant. There's some principles. First of all, the place where we battle. You see in our text here in 1 Samuel 17, verse 1, they gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at all these different places. You know what? You don't know when war is going to come. You don't know when an emergency situation is going to arise. But David, when he came upon this situation, it was an emergency. He wasn't going to let this big blowhard giant curse his God, because he just spent some time with God and the sheep. Isn't somebody going to do something? Hey, king! Yeah, people like the authority, don't they? They like to be up high in government and everything, but they don't do anything. Saul. King Saul, if you read about his life, he had emotional problems. Oh, he started out great. And then he went down and down and down and down and down. Jealousy against David. He killed the priest of the Israelites and so forth, chasing after David. Because the priest gave David and his men bread. He was a little off center. He wasn't on the bubble, as people say. And Saul, he lost his godly influence. He wasn't a good leader. And Satan invades territory that doesn't belong to him. The Philistines were invading God's land. Goliath, the picture of Satan. He wants to invade your life, Satan does. This is not his territory. If you're saved this morning, you belong to God. That belongs to God. Satan, you have no right on my territory. Get out. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. You stand for God, be strong. Don't give an excuse that God might be able to use you within your life and that your life might count for something. Satan gets into your territory. He tries to set the rules for you and the standards and the music and the movies and the divorces and everything else. Satan wants to come into your life and wreck it. God wants to put it back together. God wants you to be strong and apply these Goliath principles to your own life. You're going to have to face that giant. You have to do something about it. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You need to be faithful to God in your life. Let your heart be prepared, and then do something for the Lord. The place that they were battling. They were battling there even in God's territory. Once you're saved, you become a saint that day. God says that you should be baptized by immersion to identify with him after you're saved. And then he tells you to join the church, because that's God's territory. Belongs to him. Well, that church isn't up to what I'd like. I think I shall never see a church that's all it ought to be. A church whose members never stray beyond the straight and narrow way. A church that has no empty pews. A preacher never has the blues. Where elders eld and deacons deek, and none is proud and all are meek. Where gossip never peddles lies, or makes complaints or criticizes. Whose members are all sweet and kind, and each other's faults are blind. Such congregations there may be, but none of them is known to me. So let us work and pray and plan and make this church the best we can. Church belongs to God. It doesn't belong to me. I'm his spokesman. I'm presenting the truth to you. Week after week, Sunday morning, Sunday school, morning service, evening service on Wednesday. You find help at our church. Need to be a helper. Need to get right with God and then stand against the devil. Get yourself usable for the Lord. You know, when the giant shows up, we scatter. Told us in verse 3 of our text that where they were was in a valley. It wasn't a mountaintop experience where everything's fine, all the bills are paid and everything's going great. It was in a valley. A place of discouragement. Somebody said to walk with him when there is no battle. That's what David did. To commune with him when nobody else is around. It was when David was alone out in the hills with a flock of sheep for his companions that David learned how to be alone. We got churches today, they got worldly appetites, cravings more and more. When the giant shows up, they don't wage the battle in the valley. They get discouraged. Their spirits are low in the valley. They're depressed in the valley. They're disappointed in the valley. Who was the person in battle? A man from Gath. He was an Anakim. Anakim were the tribe of giants. Goliath wasn't the only one. You remember that when David went down to get those stones out of the brook, he got 5 stones. Somebody said, yeah, that's because he might miss, you know, and he had enough ammunition. No. He remembered that Goliath had 4 brothers. He'd take care of Goliath and the whole family to come after him. David, no dummy, he thought about it. On the spot. He didn't plan all this. A lot of things have come into your life and you didn't plan it. I never thought this would happen. Why am I here? Are you prepared? Are you prepared? You know what to do. If you're prepared, you'll take your stand. If you're prepared, you'll get the giant out of your life. And then you can be used by God. And that's exactly what David did. He comes across, comes on this, in this giant. Verses 5 through 7, you read all of the armor that he had on. His armor was over 100 pounds. His spearhead was 25 pounds just by itself. He was a walking tank. He was invincible. How long did he curse God? 40 days. That's over a month. Day in, day out, he cursed God in front of everybody. Defied the armies of God. 40 days they put up with that. How long are you going to put up with a giant in your life? Oh, you don't know, Pastor. I just can't. Yes, you can. You got the heart to hurt right with God, and you can do it. You don't fall at a giant. He'll fall at your feet. It's amazing what you can do for God when you put your mind to it, when you put your heart to it. Even though you're down in the valley, you can take your stand against the devil, you know the devil's down there in the valley. That's where he wants you to be. He doesn't want you to have any joy. He doesn't want you to have any song. He doesn't want you to be effective for the Lord God Almighty and our Savior Jesus Christ. Our enemy is large, fearful. It's overwhelming. But there was a purpose also. There was a purpose that God had for David. Did you know there's a purpose in your life? God has a purpose for your life. It doesn't have to be the same. as it has been before. And David showed up, and he understood, and the battle was bigger than just his life. Will be better. He's the one that knew if this giant won, all of Israel would be servants to the Philistines. The honor and glory of God was at stake. What he lacked in size, he gained in spirit. We read often about his birth, his position as a shepherd. His father asked him to be obedient. And you know what? He was a servant. Did I preach on being a servant? Amen. David was a servant. A servant can be used to go up after the giant. For the people that will go on after him. Are you thinking of the future generations of Christians? Are you thinking of what comes on at your church? Not just thinking of yourself, but thinking of others. The father asked him, and he was obedient. He got up early in the morning. While the soldiers fled, David questioned. You know what? Don't follow the crowd. Question. Why are you doing this? Why are you going to go here? Why are you going to riot? Why are you going to protest? Why are you going to ruin other people's lives? You just don't follow the crowd. Watch out who you hang around, my friend. Some Christians got a giant in their life. It's called a chip. The chip on the shoulder is the heaviest load you will ever have to carry. Get that out of your life. Get things right. God wants to use you. His brothers were scared, but he had to go and remind them the situation. The king was unimpressed. "Oh, you can't do that," he said to David. When you try to do something for God, you will always have people that will doubt. And they'll discourage you. He understood where, who, and how. And he used that sling. He took what was proved good in the past. "Oh, that's old fashioned. You need this armor, David." He hadn't proved that before. The world will laugh at you. They'll laugh at the little things in your life. Zechariah 4:10 says, "For who hath despised the day of small things?" You may be small in others' eyes, but you're big in God's eyes, and you're bigger than that giant that you haven't taken care of yet. And that's up to you to go ahead and to slay that giant. Because the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. He's stronger than anyone. So just don't sit back and question. Get involved. Let's get prepared. Get prepared for the battle. If we fail to see the issues around us as we live every day in our lives, we'll be apathetic. We'll sit back and relax and let everybody else do something. We can't be indifferent. We can't be casual about this. The Bible tells us that the weapons of warfare are not carnal. We need to use faith, our salvation, the truth, righteousness, and the Word. Get those things in your life. There's a giant you need to take down. Yeah, right away. Don't put it on the back burner. Get this straight in your life now. It'll be some day that you're not expecting when Jesus will come. Are you ready to see him? Give an account for your life. What have you done for others? What have you done for Jesus? Are you a servant? Are you working for him? Get involved. The giant doesn't want you involved. He thinks he can slay you, but he can't. Unless you let him. David had enough faith to look at that 9-foot-9 tank and slay him. You can too. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that we can learn the Bible principles that's behind the story of David and Goliath. Help us to apply it our everyday life. May we not have the same kind of day we've always had, the same kind of week we've always had. We can change for the good. And you will bless the change for good. Help us, Lord, to see and apply. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In your hymn books, please.